JG 1. Number 4A.
We then see that we have a job within being, and it's always to be actively responding until finally we see on the level of science itself that split between subject and object is resolved. This is that standpoint of divine science, the capital all hyphen in little all. You see, where the little all idea is responding to the big all, God. So the little all is in the all. It's the all in all. That's divine science. But on the level of science itself, it's just the infinite principle which includes its idea, and there's no longer the differentiation between what is the structure of reality and what is the structure of consciousness. That's all resolved into the I am. There's only the I am view. There's no differentiation. Now, is this God or is this man? Is this the structure of reality and is this the structure of consciousness? All duality has been resolved, and from the science itself level is just the I am. So eventually all questions will have been solved. So what we are going through as a point in the model of being is towards a science of spirit, where really the goal will be through science and reasoning and thinking, being where God comes to us and we respond back through science and understanding. We go through science and past science into awareness of being itself. That's the eighth day. That's the science level. That's the goal. That this being the thought of God doesn't lead to irrationality, where we just don't think anymore and everything becomes irrational. It leads, we're, being is thinking us to think logically, you see, from premise to conclusion. But the goal isn't to always think logically. We go through thinking logically and past thinking logically by being the thought of God into what is called an irrational realm. That's the realm of science itself, where no thinking is going on. It's just being. God doesn't think. It's just isness, being, experience. It happens. We enjoy, huh? The surprise of life in the adventure of love. You often see where these people in sports will say, like in basketball especially, they'll say, in the other sports also, tennis, football, whatever it is, in professional sports, I like them because they'll say, well, why'd you miss that basket? I was thinking too much. I was just calculating and thinking. And then the next day they said, I had a good game. I didn't think, I just let it happen. You see, it's more that they're in the rhythm, in the feel, in the flow, and they get in the flow of whatever the game is, it's automatic to them. They are. Basketball and they are one. Tennis and they are one. Golf and they are one. They're just doing it. That's the goal, is to, through the subject and object, where it's just being itself. John Dorley said we go through art and past art into the realm of art itself. The being and experiencing of it. We go through music and past music into the realm of music itself, he said. Or we go through being and past being into the realm of being itself. It's just an experience. It's wonderful. So that's an irrational realm. It's where reason and logic have coincided. Well, that's what we wanted to look at this morning. And this afternoon, we will then take, for the first hour, I want to take up with you a book in the world that takes a look at the various ideas also still coming forth in the world in quantum physics and holographic theory, chaos theory, because there are certain words and terminology and concepts we need to know for the model of being. Study of it. If Max says that Christ science is the world, and it's our responsibility of the fourth generation to understand and see it in the world, and we have to see where the world is in its language and its concepts. And just to pick out some of these key points that tie in with the model of being, showing that the world is asking for the model of being to model as a model of experience itself. We'll do that the first hour, and then the second hour we will get into the sixth chapter, which will mean the second hour, and this evening we will take the sixth chapter. Okay, I begin again, and what I really want to say is that we aren't really here to get the fishes, but to be taught how to fish, huh? So this subject is just too big to cover in a week, a month, a year, an eternity. Mrs. Eddy said it would take eternity to understand the textbook. So we know that we're only attend such a class to get the method in order for ourselves to have that wonderful experience of the discovery, how the model of being is the science of all sciences, whether it's the science behind music or the science behind art or the science behind the physics, so-called physical sciences, or any aspect of one's life and one's activities, that there is a principle or a science running vertically through all the sciences. This is something that actually has been seen now for a long, long time. One of the earlier pioneers in our relatively recent history would then be Ludwig von Bertalanffy. He wrote a book called General Systems Theory, late 60s. In which he proposed that there would be this science of all science, a general systems theory, general systems, or a general structure for all sciences. Just a brilliant book. I still refer back to that in my own consciousness when I think of the model of being, because he said there would be laws running vertically through all the sciences, and that's exactly what we're working with our laws of interdependent in the model of being. So we can only get a method and in the class, and with that method begin to see how the divine principle of the universe interprets the universe, how the model of being really is that which puts a structure over all of reality. So with these many, many, many books that are coming out, I couldn't possibly, though I have voluminous notes on the books, and my books are all marked up, one couldn't begin to touch every single issue. As I was preparing for the class, every issue was so exciting, but it was so complex that I'd take a week to explain just the Big Bang and its relationship to the model of being. Or as I said, the grand unified field theory, the tying together of gravitational force, the electromagnetic forces, those strong and weak forces, all that, and how the model of being relates to it. All these things on fractals and holistic theory and chaos theory and holographic theory. And well, how can one do that in a week? It's just impossible. And yet, we're aware of it, but one can't do everything and cover also our subject of teaching what the model of being is. So I can only give a method in to whet one's appetite to go in and to see how the divine principle of the universe interprets the universe, never reading from the books in the world to the science of Christian science, meaning never read from these books and then try to see the spiritual behind it. We always go out from the spiritual first and see its impact on the world. That's why we culture ourselves to begin with in the divine system of reference as it structures itself according to this model of being. And then with that consciousness of the tonality of the model of being, we'll let that interpret the universe. So it's always from the principle of the universe interpreting the universe. Otherwise, if we go out from these world books and try to reason from effect back to cause, we're going to get into problem. We're going to do what they ask us not to do in the point of spirit, and that is not to mingle spirit and matter. You know, that whole point at spirit where it says the sons of God married the daughters on earth and there were giants in the earth, huh? The daughters of men and there were giants in the earth. Meaning we take the things of God and wed it with the things of earth and we get giants in the earth. But that's mixing. That's not maintaining the vision and keeping it pure. Because these sciences are in a phase transition, they aren't the divine science of all sciences, as Mrs. Eddy gave us. She gave us the pure principle through revelation of what is God. That she gave us the first translation, principle translating to us its divine idea, the downward causation. The world is going through the impact of that downward causation through a phase transition. Therefore, they're going from the physical explanation of science to a mental explanation of science back into a spiritual explanation of science. If we picked up these books and just read them, we would take their physical explanation and put it into science, and there's things that won't work there. It's still, all what we're doing in science is seeing that the universe is going through the phase transition from a physical explanation to a mental into a scientific, and we know through science whether it's at a physical state, a mental state, or already in a spiritual explanation, but it takes a tonality to understand where it is in that phase transition so we don't make a mistake of calling it divine science when it's really just a physical explanation of which there's yet a mental and yet a spiritual. There's danger in playing around with this interpretation of the impact of the model of being on the world, the science of all sciences. This is why Max presented it already in 1970, and it isn't 20 years later that we're kind of getting a little bit stronger about bringing in a little bit more and more of these concepts into class. He certainly brought so much of it into class, but always was very careful to show the science behind it. So I say that in fact that we will now be looking at one of these books amongst many, and this is a book by Paul Davies, who wrote a book called The Cosmic Blueprint. Davies is a scientist who had been working, I had actually his resume here, and where it is, let's see if I can get my finger on his resume. I don't see it right at the moment. I'll bring it in if I don't have it. But he was working in England, actually up in northern part of England in Newcastle on the Avon, I think it is, on the Avon or something like that. But anyhow, he's in northern England for a long time working, and now I think he's doing work at one of the universities in Australia. He has written this book called The Cosmic Blueprint. He has a new one out, I think, called The Mind of God, something like that. Terrific, terrific visionary, and certainly one of those who fortune has favored the prepared mind. His book is just full of the impact of the model of being on world consciousness. So I'd like to go through some of, and I underline some of the concepts now as the week unfolds. We'll go through more of them. There's just oodles and oodles of them. But just to show you how what the world is seeing is asking then for what we will be doing and are doing this week, and how our subject, how principle then through our 7,000 year period of the model of being will answer these questions. Now, to begin with, in the preface to his book, and we'll read this book together. By read, I mean pick out the main issues as we go along. And again, I have to make kind of quantum leaps through the book. There's a lot in there. I find that every single page in the book I've marked up with our system of reference, whether it's a tone of mind or spirit or soul or principle, life, truth, and love, or whether it's the levels. There wasn't a page I haven't marked up that it has some implication to what we're doing. It's just full of all sorts of nice information and research. But he says in the preface, and you'll have to realize that I make my little notations about how I am hearing the system in science out to the side. But what he says goes down the middle of my transparency, and therefore I'll be talking in his language and then translating it back into what we see in science. So right from the very beginning, we see that in his preface, he gives a nice quote, which he says is anonymous. He says, "Whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should." Well, I think we see that now, especially with the universe under those laws of life, truth, and love, as Buchholz showed us in the Great Transformation, that the universe is unfolding according to its own inner dynamics, its own inner logicity, and its own inner goal directedness. What we see today in science as the law of divine impulsion coming spontaneously out of divine origin. He says that what he is after in the preface, he says what he's looking for in this book is what is the source of creative power. And he says, well, we say it's the Big Bang, which was immediately followed by a universe which is in a featureless, chaotic state, which evolved slowly and surely, developing towards structure and complexity. He says that this Big Bang, which suddenly occurred, and we know and are very well of the Big Bang, is sometimes in vogue and out of vogue. Before last year, the Big Bang was in. Last year, the Big Bang was out as a theory. This year, the Big Bang is in again. We'll see in chapter 6 what Mrs. Eddy thinks about the Big Bang, whether she thinks it's in or out. But anyhow, we're pretty safe to talk about it at this moment in the world because it seems to be okay again. Well, that's just because of those laws of isness in development. It's either one or the other they're focusing on. But anyhow, he says that the Big Bang was immediately followed by a featureless, chaotic state. But what emerged out of that was structure and complexity. And how it emerged was on the self-organizing principles, which was shaping matter and energy. And that these self-organizing principles were happening, he says, spontaneously, making us grow towards higher states of order and complexity. He says that actually the accidental products of random forces and rare chance events seem to be out, and that the origin of life seems to be following a natural end state, which seems to be working more towards a predestined cosmic blueprint. That there was somehow a cosmic blueprint or a plan behind this whole evolution from the Big Bang. Now, this concept that he's showing just right away in his preface is no stranger to the sciences. In fact, we know that Dunui, quite a while back, wrote a book in 1947, which Max Kapler has updated in his booklet, Evolution, Material or Spiritual. He updated a article or little booklet he wrote back in 1947 on a recent theory of evolution by Lacombe Dunui. Nerui was one of these scientists. He was a paleontologist. And Max feels he's one of the greatest evolutionists. I do too. I feel, of course, with Max's help in his book on a recent theory of evolution, which he now has upgraded to the evolution, material or spiritual, you can't beat Nerui's vision. And I hear it over and over in Paul Davies and all these people. So if we take a look at what Nerui said, it gives us the background for what Davies and these physicists are saying. Nerui actually showed that evolution went forward in about 6 or 7 quantum leaps, of which he called mutations. And he said that first, he said, of course, after the Big Bang, there was the beginning of life. That started the beginning of life. And he says that it really was an immediate appearing of organic life. He said that life began 1 billion years after the origin of the Earth. And he said what was unusual was that this immediate appearing of organic life, 1 billion years, actually went against the calculus of probability, against the laws of chance, against the hypothesis of absolute disorder at the base. Because if we go with the laws of chance, and these are things that Davies talks about also, that it would have taken 10 to the 243rd power billion years to form a single molecule of a living organism, and it only happened in 1 billion years. That would be 10 followed by 243 zeros billion years for life to evolve if given chance as the cause. So he said that the beginning of life went against these laws of probability. Then he said the next big mutation to occur was the evolution of life towards more and more complex forms. He sees that evolution began to increase towards more and more dissymmetries, and it increased irreversibly towards diversification and classification and individualization. And he said this went against the time-honored law of second dynamics, the law of thermodynamics, that second law, or the law of entropy, which says that everything in the inorganic evolution decreases and it heads towards a state of equilibrium and heat death, where it finally comes to a stop in total obscurity, in a cold death. Well, you see, the belief in the sciences, and we will see through the book here, is then that old belief in the old sciences that everything was under this pessimistic arrow, this arrow of thermodynamics, where everything was heated, headed towards a heat death, towards a equaling out, that through this law of dynamics, structures began to dissipate and dissipate and dissipate and dissipate and finally come to a state of equilibrium or death. But in the optimistic arrow of time, against that pessimistic arrow, comes evolution towards higher and higher complexity. One of the big points where we'll see that this is just the Christ at work in its translation and retranslation as we go on. How these two arrows of time can be seen together within a similar system. Then after this, the result of it was man in the human brain. And he says that this element of man in the human brain freed then man to think along ideas and moral values, therefore freeing him from the bondage to his environment and to animal instincts. And then the next big mutation after the beginning of life and the evolution towards more and more complex form, and the appearing of man and his human brain, was then a fourth point, which was the birth of thought, brought then these moral and spiritual ideas as opposed to bondage to the environment and animal instincts, and that these moral and spiritual ideas govern man. Man was not governed by instincts, but by an immaterial principle. And then he goes on to say, the next big mutation in the evolution of life was that spontaneous and independent development of these ideas of man in different parts of the globe. That somebody in one part of the world could discover something at the same time that somebody else did. It's that whole phenomenon of multiple discoveries happening. And he says that this went against those time-honored laws of causality, that linear development, for example, where it has to take this point, has to develop slowly and slowly and slowly to an effect. But things can happen all over suddenly. The same idea can come to many, many people instantaneously. Therefore, it goes after those time-honored laws of cause and effect, the laws of time, because they are superseded or overformed, let's say, by the laws of spontaneity. And then another big mutation he saw, that these whole development transformed man into an active, responsible individual. That man then could become transformed, that could become the transformation of man. He didn't have to live in accordance to those old laws of heredity. That means that we are what the whole universe has thought in the collective unconscious. All that's been passed along through the morphogenetic fields. That man could transcend his bondage to the laws of limitation of those morphogenetic fields that he was born into, and he could become a higher, attain higher states of consciousness. And then the last big point that Dinui saw was that this whole evolution was towards a telefinalistic plan, towards some type of goal causality. Tele meaning far aim, finalistic, to arrive at it. That the universe has a goal and a purpose that it is evolving towards. Dinui wanted to call it God. He was a Catholic. But he said it didn't have to be called God, that there was some kind of a fundamental principle in being that had a plan and a goal towards which this whole universe making these quantum leaps and mutations, going against these time-honored laws of the old sciences, was heading. Quite wonderful what Dinui has done and shown us in his book called Human Destiny. Terrific book, written in the 1947. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's something which is very readable today and still of great, great value to read it, because it gives, again, a simple explanation of the law of evolution so one can understand what these quantum physicists are talking about when they say that we're dealing from a linear, simple state now into a non-linear, complex state. That evolution is going from simplicity to complexity.